All right, so I think we were all pretty excited. I think it was just last week when a team of engineers and scientists and games journalists
and documentarians
and documentarians and mathematicians and tiny Pomeranians, they went into the New Mexico desert. They dug for hours and hours, and at the bottom of this landfill, they found thousands and thousands of copies of my prom photos, which I had buried there 30 years ago.
Yeah, you've strived pretty hard to keep that under wraps, but unfortunately, everybody's going to know that you went to your first prom with your mother.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that you went to prom at all, I mean, what kind of a nerd are you? Didn't you just stay home and play video games that night?
Look, guys, I'm sorry for being prom king. it was a different time.
Jeff was prom king, but I mean, he's homeschooled, so I mean, there wasn't any competition.
I was prom king every day, all day, for the whole school year up until I went to college.
Wow. I mean, so now I don't feel so bad, but my mistake ultimately was hiding my cache of prom photos next to thousands and thousands of copies of E.T. on the Atari 2600, which I guess is the games related part of my enormous embarrassment. This was exciting. People watched this. It was almost like it was a Twitch Plays Pokemon, only less hellish.
Was this live?
I don't know.
No, I don't think it was live.
It was live blogged, yeah, rather than live streamed.
And they had the documentarians over there. It kind of actually reminded me of in Earthbound, whenever it just has the guys that are like, oh, there's gold down here.
And
except they actually found it, mm-hmm, and not a diamond after all.
And also the Atari games... E.T. are pretty worthless. I'm pretty sure they go for like $22 a piece in good condition.
That's actually pretty good for an Atari game.
Well, so this is one of the few video games out there that is worth more in terrible condition. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've played it, but really the less playable your copy is, the more it sells for on eBay.
Yeah.
It got me thinking about what else I am going to bury, certainly, but also what we as the fan gamers are going to bury in the New Mexico desert in our own shame later on. And, you know, the first thing that came to mind for me is really every video game related item I bought before I turned 16.
I can get on board with that.
Yeah. And I like, it's not the video games, it's not even some of the cool accessories and merchandise. I love all that stuff. It's all the stuff that says don't hate the player, and then there's a picture of Mega Man on it, or like represent, and then it's an Atari joystick,
or know your roots, and it's the NES controller.
Yep, had that one.
You know, I think what I'm going to be burying, the most recent comeback of Pac-Man as a teen.
Oh, Teen Pac-Man. God, Teen Pac-Man is the most... I'm not a cultural doomsayer. I think you're a lovely person, podcast listener, and you're about to have a very fulfilling and content life. At the same time, if you want to see the final degradation of our culture, the Caligulan terror that is America in 2014, you need only look at Pac-Man, who used to be a family man with kids and a wife.
And that was already horrible.
That was
and a job
plagued by domestic problems.
Well, you work with somebody, you work with your kids all day. That can certainly be fraught, but I believe there's a dignity in it. That dignity of labor, the nuclear family. So that Pac-Man,
be a pill popping Pac-Man papa.
Yeah, yeah. The original Pac-Man has been replaced in 2014 by Teen Pac-Man, who has a bunch of cool looking friends.
He's regressed.
He has regressed. He no longer has any responsibilities except, I guess, defeating ghosts.
Or, you know, hanging out with the cool girl who hopefully, maybe one day, they will share a pack pellet together.
Yeah, yeah, but we know canonically that she cannot become Miss Pac-Man because Miss Pac-Man looks exactly like Pac-Man.
Right.
And this girl looks like she walked into Hot Topic and bought out all their Nightmare Before Christmas merch.
Speaking of Hot Topic, that's where my thing that I'm going to bury is going. But go ahead, Charlie.
All right. I'm just saying that, nobody ever said that Miss Pac-Man was married to Pac-Man. It's Miss Pac-Man, not Mrs. Mm.
Well, it's like it's the early 80s and the late 70s. Things were different then. Everyone wanted to be Miss and wear those weird like V-neck leisure suits. Mm-hmm. So I still
have mine. I'm wearing it underneath my clothes right now.
Yeah, that's the one thing he's not burying.
Are we allowed to bury stuff that we don't actually own, but stuff that exists that we wish no longer existed?
Yes. You're going to have to steal it from everyone who did buy it, but yeah. I won't put that past
like
you.
Like how everyone said, hey, send us Shaq Fu and we'll destroy it for you.
Yeah.
But anyway, now that Doctor Who has gotten popular, there is so much terrible merchandise that I would just like to burn and never see again.
Keep calm and Doctor Who, am I right?
Oh my God.
Up top.
No. The number one offender, I saw it a few months ago. It's an official product. It's a shower caddy in the shape of the TARDIS. And stuff had been getting pretty ridiculous, but as soon as I saw that, I said, okay, I'm done. No more official Doctor Who merchandise because they've jumped the shark over to the next galaxy, and it's like, apologies to anyone who actually owns that thing. I'm sure it's cool, but I hate it.
You're sure it's cool, but also you want to take it out of their shower and bury it in the
desert. No offense if you think it's cool, but it's one of the most offensive things to me as a Doctor Who fan, because I just absolutely hate it.
I would just like to say yes offense if you've bought anything that says keep calm on it.
Yeah, that's still overdone.
Yeah, we would like to offend you.
I think one thing I'm going to wind up burying also is my shirts from when I was 12 and 13. I had some shirts that were really funny and probably still hold up to this day, but I'm just beyond them now.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them said things like, give me a dollar and I'll leave you alone. Another one says, my invisible friend is standing right next to me. You know, these are hilarious shirts, and I can see by your guys' faces that you all agree.
Yeah. I mean, you can't hear it because we're off mic, but we're laughing super hard. You know, can't sleep, clowns will eat me.
That's another great one I had.
That one about having the wrong color camouflage.
One by one, the penguins steal my sanity.
Oh, God. It's funny because...
Classics.
It's, like, what's funny about it is it's so random. Like, you're like, what are penguins even doing there?
It's really hard to predict what these shirts are going to say next. And that's what I love about these things, is that they just totally embrace the chaos of the universe. But simultaneously, I would like to see them all buried in the desert.
Yeah. Hot dog dishwasher monkeys. Am I right?
You know, one great one I heard recently was Squirrel Monkey Chicken Pie.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was a great one.
You just took me down the garden path, and then you turned, and you turned, and you turned, and you turned, and there was a penguin at the end.
It's like, what is this? What is my life all about? And it's about burying these things in the desert.
Yeah, and I believe this is like the real truth about life, that Pac-Man Teen Ghost Adventure dishwasher is missing in regressing Pac-Man to a teenager who worries about math homework and getting shut into lockers or whatever teenagers worry about, is that, like, ultimately the thing we must do as adults is like not just put away childish things, as the evangelist tells us. We must not just put away childish things, we must bury them in the desert. We must take the things that we used to like and just get rid of all of them so that future teenagers will make entirely different mistakes.
See, Heidi brought up an interesting point, though, earlier whenever she said that she didn't want to just bury some of these things. She wants to burn them. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very important distinction. See, a burning is going to make certain that nobody ever has to see this again, whereas burying something in the desert is a challenge.
It's a time capsule.
And somebody's going to find that in the future, and then they're going to judge us based on the things that we have preserved in the desert.
Eventually that's going to be the last thing to make a documentary about.
So really, I'd say that the things you want to bury in the desert are the things that you're kind of proud of, but you don't think you're allowed to be proud of it at the time.
So like Jeff's 12-year-old shirts.
Right, exactly. See, I'm sure a few things, like back in the day, I was pretty big into DBZ, let me tell you. Like my online screen name was Krillin. I still have fanfics on Starman.net under that pseudonym.
Why Krillin?
Why not?
I think there's more signs pointing to why Krillin.
But anyway, dodge that question for now. And say that I'd probably bury all of my DBZ stuff in the desert because, you know, secretly, I'm still pretty proud of that. I have the name Krillin carved into my bed. because I've been having this bed frame for, you know, 15 years or whatever, and so at some point, you know, I had to desecrate it. But something like my old ThinkGeek shirt that says, you know, Mario and Luigi 04, it's America, you know, it's like as a campaign thing, because, you know, they were running for... that I would probably burn, because I don't think anybody needs to know that I was supporting the Italian takeover of our country.
That's a good point. And, wow. And you know, the good thing about burying Dragon Ball Z stuff in the desert is that 30 years from now, Goku and Perfect Cell will go out and fight there, and like someone will shoot a Destructo disc that cuts the landfill in half, and all your shirts are just going to be there.
It's going to be like a nice, thick slice of cake.
Yeah,
to see the inside,
and they'll be like, "What's this?" And it turns out it's a full color button down shirt that depicts some scene from Dragon Ball Z in all of its glory.
It's just a pile of silk Goku shirts.
They're gonna uncover a big mound of Krillin action figures, and their only question will be,
"Well, I can't let Krillin? Those go because that I have to keep those on display. That's part of my roots, sir. That's not going in the desert."
I want to burn all of bad Doctor Who merchandise, which is the majority of it. So what I would actually bury was, like, in eighth grade, I used to take the pinups out of all the teen magazines of anybody, it didn't matter, and use it to wallpaper my entire room. I have a photograph of my room somewhere that's just wall-to-wall pictures of people, and I don't know how I slept in that room at 13 years old, because it's really creepy. But at one point in high school, I took all that down, stuffed it in a box, and put it in my closet. And I don't really know what happened to that box. Maybe it's still there. But I think I would like to bury that and have someone find the cache of late 90s teen stars that I looked up to.
Yeah,
and unbury it, open it up, and say, why Krillin? Anyway.
You know, I personally can't sleep without a bunch of pictures of Jonathan Taylor Thomas looking down on me.
I had about 50 of those.
Yeah,
you can sleep really well in her old room.
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing about JTT is he's got those eyes that just
those
like
eyes.
They know
dead eyes.
You know,
mm.
Yeah, those dead like just
dead sexy eyes.
Yeah,
he was trained at a very young age to smile with his eyes, and Tyra Banks would be proud of all of his old photos.
He knows anyway, what is he doing these days?
He made a movie in 2003 about Christmas, and then that's the last I heard.
I'll be
about
home for Christmas.
Something like that.
I'm worried that Heidi buried Jonathan Taylor Thomas
in
the Mexico desert.
You never know.
We really don't know a lot about her movements before she joined Fangame.
Well, one of the things that I actually have buried, I've done a couple time capsules as a kid. I'm sure you guys did something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I dug about a 6-foot hole in my old backyard, and we decided to put a time capsule down there. Somehow, this time capsule at the bottom of a 6-foot hole seemed like kind of a waste of the other 5 feet. So we got a Costco mayonnaise jar that had been emptied, and we decided to try to make the ultimate stink bomb. So we put milk and hamburger meat in it and a bunch of stuff from the fridge, chicken. I think we actually took a couple chemical stink bombs that you buy and from the back of a magazine, cracked those, put those in there, screwed it on tight, and then wrapped the whole thing in duct tape and buried that alongside the time capsule.
On the same, like alongside it or like on a different layer?
Different layer of dirt, yeah. Months passed. And we were thinking, okay, that's probably fermented enough now. Now we got to think of
now you can attack
use
a titan
on
with it.
Yeah. Now we got to figure out who we're actually going to use this on, or if there's any use for it. Eventually, I went out to go check the little area that we had buried it at, and overnight it exploded.
Oh my gosh!
And everything had kind of sunk down into a hole, and it just was very rank. So, don't bury. Chicken and milk.
Dear listeners of the Fangamers, I don't like to address you directly, but do not create a stink hole. I really like this burying and burning distinction. I think that's really important. And it's just an example of like the important work Charlie does for Fangamer every day, creating that distinction. So E.T. is a terrible Atari game, and they buried it. So what video games do you burn? Like, if that's what you bury.
Hmm.
Call of Juarez.
Yeah, I can get behind Call of Juarez.
Tell the listeners a little more about that.
Well, we did a whole podcast about it. It's just a terribly racist game, and
very misinformed and misinforming.
And it's generally aimed at the young aggressive gamers, also known as impressionable youth.
And it doesn't even do that well.
Yeah.
So it's like Goat Simulator, only it's about people.
Right, and about actually an entire race of people.
Okay.
Yeah. A couple of entire races, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, entire races.
So games that are actively harmful to the youth rather than passively harmful to the youth.
It's like burning...
books.
Burning books about how great Nazism is. Mm. It's getting rid of the things that clearly are not good for people. I don't know if there's many games that actually do that better than Call of War S.
What about, like, I'm thinking just, like, the really, like, transgressive section of, like, Newgrounds. Like, those Flash games about drive-by shootings and stuff. Is that the... That's the genre you're working in?
Or any game where the primary point is to click on somebody's face, and then slowly gets more and more beat up.
Okay.
Because those are usually pretty good for burning.
What about, like...
As much as you can burn digital code.
What about, like, a Candy Crush Saga type game that is, like, it's not harmful in terms of its worldview, but it does create a race of zombie people who pay $100 a month to...
You know, if I've ever touched that game, I might have more opinions on it, but I don't know. I've only ever heard of it.
I believe Candy Crush has now moved to a free-to-burn model, where you can burn the first copy of Candy Crush Saga for free, and then to burn additional levels, it's like 25 cents. Mm-hmm. I do 10 or 15 levels a day. You know, it's just a thing I like doing.
Very cathartic, really.
Yeah, it makes me feel, in a way that gambling makes me feel. And drinking makes me feel.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, a game that I think should be burned, bringing us all back home, is Pac-Man: The New Adventures.
Oh, certainly. Pac-Man Teen Ghost.
The one on Super Nintendo?
Pac-Man 2: The New Adventures, yes.
No.
Why not? What is your best argument for why this game should exist?
Because Arino played it on Game Center CX and it was very entertaining.
The game was entertaining or his reaction was very entertaining?
His reaction to the game was entertaining.
Okay, I played it too, and I'm pretty sure my reaction was very entertaining to people. But that was only because it was such a frustrating game.
Yeah.
See, there's a redeeming value in that.
I'm having a hard time coming up with a game I want to burn, because even if you play the worst game in the world, if you play it with someone else and you both just make fun of it, you get some enjoyment out of it. Like... what game was it? Like, we were playing Takeshi's Challenge. I still can't figure that game out. I don't know how to get the karaoke part to start. I just know it's in there somewhere. And I'm just walking around aimlessly in that game. It's like, well, turn it off. I'll try again next time. But every time I try, I have fun with whoever I play it with.
And if you, the audience who I don't like to address, would like to watch the fan gamers Let's Play Takeshi's Challenge, or any of the terrible games we've mentioned, except the racist one.
I have 150 Famicom games. Yeah. Let's do this.
Tweet at us, because we would like to do it.
Well, the only one I can think of that would probably be really worth burning is probably, like, Tecmo's Secret of the Stars, just because it's pretty awful, but it's not awful enough to make fun of. It is just so tedious and boring. Mm. And no redeeming value whatsoever. Not even coming out the other side.
So the games we really need to burn aren't the games that get like a 1 out of 10. It's the games that get like a 4 out of 10.
Right.
Where it's just, you're playing it and you're like, well, this is a game, I guess. Like all those Nintendo 64 platformers that came after Mario 64, except for Glover. Where you're just like, oh, I'm a cute guy and I have to collect a million...
Banjo-Kazooies.
A million Banjo-Kazooies and Donkey Points and all that kind of stuff. Those are the games that we're going to burn.
Yeah, because they're not something to learn from, and they're not something to look forward to. Mm. They're just...
Okay, I've got one now. To stay on the theme of Doctor Who, there was a downloadable PSN-only Doctor Who and something time, I don't know. I bought it for $20. Here's why. I know licensed games are crap, but this company, like, hired the actual actors to do the voice acting, to do the motion capture. I'm like, okay, they put a lot of work into this. I think it's going to be good. Paid the $20. Holy crap. It is so boring, so not worth my time. There was like a section where River Song is trying to escape the asylum, and it was terrible Metal Gear Solid sneaking stuff. And after getting caught like 50 times, I was like, this is it. This isn't worth my time. PlayStation Network, I'm sorry that I bought a digital game because I can't sell it back to GameStop now. I was angry. That was the first time I ever got angry at a game.
And you, so you, in that case, did not keep calm in Dr. Hulan.
I made a video about it, actually.
Okay.
Expressing my disdain and warning people away from it. But then I never uploaded it because I didn't want to do what I am doing right now, and that is spreading negativity in the world. But I had to... Okay, this is my platform. I'm warning you, do not buy whatever the hell that Doctor Who game was. It's terrible.
And this is like why we need to burn these games.
Yeah.
It's to avoid spreading negativity in the world.
Actually, I'd like to follow that up. I've kind of felt like we've been spreading some negativity with this whole podcast. We've been complaining a lot. We haven't had a whole lot of positive things to say. So I'd like to propose that we bury this podcast.
Okay.
Okay.
I can get behind that.
And then if anybody in the future finds the landfill in which this podcast is buried in.
You know, right next to that one, to our last one, which eventually the goats are going to find.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You can dig it up and, you know, hey, there's your little prize. You can put it online if people want to check it out. But this is our apology.
That's a very good idea. And, you know, 20 years from now, when teen Pac-Man ages into regular Pac-Man again.
And possibly becomes the president of the United States.
Yeah, and well, he'll be at least 36. He's eligible. Mm-hmm. Born in Japan, but, you know, obviously we've gotten rid of that rule in the last 6 years, if you know what I mean. Barack Obama was born in Kenya. So obviously we've gotten rid of that rule.
Born in Japan. Never mind.
Yeah, different strokes for different birth certificates. But, you know, he's eligible for the presidency, and 20 years from now, when he has dumped that weird purple Hot Topic non-Pac lady Pac-Man thing.
It was a fling.
Yeah, it was just a high school sweetheart, and that's beautiful. It burns brightly, and then it burns not at all.
Right.
And people begin to think, Pac-Man is getting old. How can we reboot Pac-Man? Mm-hmm. How can we make Pac-Man appeal to a new generation of Lotus Eaters? You know, they'll open up this podcast, they'll put it in their cassette deck, and they'll say, no, we must not repeat history's mistakes. And to you, people of the future, I say,
waka, 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 waka.
I'm looking forward to what the 12th Doctor does and where he takes us.
Look, know your roots, don't hate the player, represent.
And blow me. No, let's not do that one.
Keep calm and Futurama.
I really like Futurama.
All right, podcast is over. Okay.